Italy is not the only member of the U.S.-led coalition that's pulling troops out of Iraq. More than 1,300 Dutch troops are also leaving. Ukraine and Poland are calling troops home, too. Analyst Nora Bensahel of the RAND Corporation says the Allies are using the January 30th elections as their justification to leave.
Well, they're saying that for political reasons. I'm not sure that they necessarily believe that the task on the ground is necessarily done, but there has been a lot of domestic pressure in a lot of these countries to get out of Iraq as soon as possible, largely because of the very difficult security situation and the fact that their troops are in harm's way. So the story that they're telling for political reasons is that now that the election is over, they can bring their troops home. Whether or not that means that the military tasks on the ground have been finished is a whole different question.
Well, given that the job isn't finished by any stretch of the imagination, what does the Bush administration do?
Well, overall, these troops are not a very large number of the overall number of troops there. As I said, there are a total of about 24,000 troops from countries besides the United States. That pales in comparison to the 140,000 U.S. troops that are there. So, again, from a military perspective, it doesn't make a huge difference. It's certainly not good. The U.S. military will have to readjust where it is, and in the case of the Dutch withdrawal, the British are going to be taking over the Dutch responsibilities. But looking at it from a broader perspective, it matters much more politically than it does militarily.
And what are the political effects of these withdrawals?
Well, the political effects are that the coalition of the willing is shrinking by the day, and that is something that the Bush administration has sought to avoid. They want this to be seen as the largest, as many other countries participating as possible to give it the greatest international legitimacy. But that case is obviously going to be harder and harder to sustain the more other countries are withdrawing their forces.
The administration has been working to get allied nations involved in training Iraqi forces, which is the next big phase of the war as the United States sees it. There have been announcements from NATO and from other countries. Beyond those announcements, what practically is taking place as far as allied nations helping with training?
In particular, NATO has agreed that it will take on a larger role in the training mission than it had before, although we still don't know exactly what some of the concrete contributions are going to be from the NATO allies. It does seem pretty clear that some of them are going to pick up a bigger role in the training than they had before. One of the questions, though, is whether that training is going to take place inside Iraq or outside of Iraq. A lot of the allies have said that they will not send trainers into Iraq because it is simply too dangerous. And so they are talking about setting up training programs and facilities in neighboring countries such as Jordan. That obviously makes the training more difficult because you have to get the Iraqi forces out of the country and to these third country training sites. So a lot of the details remain to be worked out, but it will certainly be welcome contributions because, as you rightly pointed out, the training is the big mission now that needs to be completed.
In the last few days in this program, we've heard about U.S. military efforts to send out military officers with Iraqi military units while they're on their missions. They're mentors, as they've been described in some places, these transitional military teams. That's obviously an important task and a hazardous one. Is there any allied country that has indicated that it might be willing to send its troops on that kind of training mission?
So far, not to my knowledge. I believe that the UK has been doing something similar to that in its own sector. But what you're seeing now with these joint patrols that you've been mentioning is a very fundamental shift in the U.S. military strategy. For a very long time, the U.S. strategy was to conduct patrols on its own. And there was a strategy review that was held this past fall that decided that the way to ultimately get the Iraqi troops to be the most self-sufficient would be to stop doing the patrols on our own and to start doing them jointly, even though that does increase the risk factor quite significantly. So it's ultimately seen as very important to getting the Iraqi troops to be stable and on their own. Whether other countries are going to be picking up that mission still remains to be seen, and I'm not particularly optimistic that they will choose to do so.
We've been speaking with Nora Bensahel. She's an analyst at the RAND Corporation in the Washington, D.C. area. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Here's another note on the war in Iraq. U.S. officials say they have trained 141,000 Iraqis for the security services. That's a figure that's been used to describe the progress in the war so far. Critics have been questioning that number, and this week nonpartisan auditors have offered some new information. The Government Accountability Office says 141,000 Iraqis may have been trained, but nowhere near that many are actually defending Iraq. The auditors say the figure probably includes tens of thousands of soldiers and police who walked off the job and are now absent without leave.